Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man I've come to admire greatly for his role in a, well, not so distant, but somewhat removed front line of that war is our guest, I'm very pleased to say, for this full hour. His name is John Gaunt. He is a very accomplished journalist by training. He has risen through the ranks of organizations like the BBC London. He's been a columnist for the Sun newspaper. He has written and broadcast for years on programs like Question Time, Countdown, Daily Politics, the BBC News. He has, however, found it rougher and rougher sledding as his particular brand of truth-telling, which we admire greatly here at Secure Freedom Radio, has now become essentially impermissible in the so-called mainstream media of his country. He is now the podcaster par excellence, I guess it's fair to say, with his own network in effect now, thanks to the internet, and they haven't shut that down, thank God. John Gaunt, thank you so much for giving an hour of your time. It's wonderful to have you with us, and I appreciate the chance to visit with you at some length about the issues that have caused you such difficulties in your own country.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I mean, the bottom line is, if you're slightly right of center in British politics, the alt-left, the fascists of the left, will try and get you blackballed and blacklisted, just like they're trying to do the same in the United States of America. They'll still invite me on to programs, but very much like the monkey in the cage, they want to poke me with a stick and make me perform for them. I mean, last week I got invited to go on BBC One, our biggest TV channel, obviously publicly funded, with a poll tax, effectively. Don't pay the license fee, you go to jail. They wanted me to go on and talk about this stupid woman who wants to take down the statue of Nelson, Nelson's column in the center of London, because he used to know people who were slavers. So it's a bit like the nonsense you're having about statues, but it's even worse. But they only wanted me to go on so that this black woman who's saying this, within a couple of sentences, would have been able to say, "You are being racist. I bet your family were slavers." I mean, the whole thing is nonsense. So I now refuse to go on it because I'm not going to help them with their fetid, corrupt fake news.
This brand of plainspokenness has endeared you to millions on the other side of the pond, and I'm very pleased to be able to introduce you to our audience as well. And let me just say that part of the reason for doing so, John, is that you are doing an extraordinarily valuable service, I think, for both the Brits and Americans in terms of the close documenting you're doing of what's happening in your country, particularly with respect to this phenomenon that I think is best described as Sharia supremacism. And I'm anxious to have your insights into what you're seeing in the United Kingdom, because I think there's no question that it is the leading edge of the effort to bring these same supremacist agendas to our own shores. In fact, there's a considerable effort already underway here. We want you to shed light on that. Let me start then by asking you sort of to just give us sort of a level setting, if you will, on how you see the state of this effort in your own country to bring this foreign and truly totalitarian ideology into not just the society in general, but into your political system as well.
It's an incredible thing. If I was to set up a cult tomorrow that said women were second-class citizens, homosexuals were lower than dogs, and that the female genital mutilation was an acceptable cultural norm, I would probably be locked up. However, it seems that the left, and don't forget the left, probably just like in your country, they infest the media and the political landscape. They seem to have a blind spot when it comes, and not just to Islamist sort of view of the world, but Islamic views of these societal norms. So they give them so much latitude. So in our country now, we've got Sharia courts in certain areas. We've got a position where in schools, half of the schools in Birmingham, our second biggest city, now say that girls can wear the hijab. Girls as young as 5 years old can wear the hijab as part of the uniform. I think it's a fifth of all schools in UK, the hijab as part of the uniform policy. And you might think that's just something that doesn't matter, but it does, because it's fundamentally going against all the things that I believe in, which, you know, I believe in a meritocracy. I'm a conservative. I'm a father of two grown-up daughters. I want my daughters to be treated equally. I don't want them to go to school at the age of five and be with people who are wearing the hijab, who are clearly being treated as second-class citizens.
Let me ask you about that, John, because there is this notion, and it's gotten some currency on this side of the Atlantic as well, that this is actually a form of empowering these women or young girls, that they're demonstrating their fidelity to their religious practice, and they're saying to a non-Muslim society, I'm proud to be Muslim, and so on. Would you just work through that? Is it in fact a symbol of their submission, not just to, you know, Allah, but to essentially a terribly misogynistic program?
Yes, of course it is, especially when it's five-year-old girls. Five-year-old girls hardly know their names, let alone their political or religious beliefs. And I'm glad to say that some Muslim women have come out and said, this is ridiculous. If you are going to wear the hijab, it's only meant to happen when they reach puberty. But even then, I would say this is nonsense. I don't believe the hijab, the burqa, the full face veil has any place in Western civilization, and certainly within the United Kingdom. We communicate with our hands, with our voices, and with our face. Everybody should be able to see someone's face. If you want to wear it at home, fine. But in my opinion, if you want to live in the United Kingdom, you fit. But of course, the liberals would shout at me, call me a racist, a little Englander, and call me an Islamophobe. Well, Islamophobia, what a ridiculous term that is. A phobia, a fear of the unknown. Well, no, I've got quite a genuine fear of Islamists blowing me up on the subway.
It's not an unreasoned fear, which I think is really the technical term, phobia.
It's not irrational, is it, when they're blowing up dance halls and they're driving trucks into people in market squares? It's not irrational at all. But going back to women wearing the hijab, I've heard this thing about it's empowering and that. No, it's not. If anything, it's women trying to prove they're a better Muslim than others. And it sets up all kinds of attitudes, which I don't think we should be fostering. Women and men should be treated equally. And I also believe everybody should be treated under the same law. We have a jury system, 12 good men and true. There should be no Sharia law. There should be no consideration of somebody's religious background before the eyes of the law. But unfortunately, there is, because they're treading on eggshells whenever it's somebody who's a Muslim. But going back to this empowering, I don't think it's an empowering tool. I think it's the beginning of making women feel that they're second-class citizens. And we in the West should have nothing to do with that.
Let me just ask you, John, because this really goes to the heart of what I think we'll be touching on throughout the program, and that is the symbols of Sharia, whether it's the hijab or the burqa or these girls being induced to wear it as part of their uniform, or the courts, or what's happening with the overflowing crowds coming out of mosques and blocking traffic in areas of the cities, whether it's no-go zones. And I want to talk with you specifically about that concept. You've mentioned Birmingham. It's been a source of some controversy, I think, on both sides of the pond. But I want to get at your thoughts on the fact that the United Kingdom is submitting in important respects to this Sharia supremacist program and the lesson that this has for us. We'll be right back with more with John Gaunt, an extraordinary intellect and great courageous spokesman for freedom, hailing from the United Kingdom. More with him right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.